Join the over 30 million people who are already dreaming big with Weebly. Get started today for free at weebly.com/watch. That's weebly.com/watch, weebly.com/watch.
Watch what crappens, who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens.
Today's episode is brought to you by our premium subscriber, Christy Dougherty. Hey everyone, welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to watch. I'm Ben Mandelker from BsideBlog.com and the Banter Blender, and joining me as usual is Ronnie Karam from Trash Talk TV. Hi Ronnie, what's going on?
Well, hello Ben. Not what? A whole hell of a lot, sitting here in front of my Bravo notes.
Oh, I forgot to shower you with adjectives, so I would like to add that you are the lovely and handsome and powerful Ronnie Karam from TrashTalkTV.com.
Thank you, young lady, because how you act around other people reflects on me. Okay?
This is very true. So everyone, please go to WatchWhatCrappens.com to find our social media links, such as where you can find both Ronnie and me on Twitter and Instagram, etc. If you go to facebook.com/watchforcrappens, you can join in on the convo. There is so much funny stuff on that page. People are posting all sorts of hilarious things. Someone posted a thing about a flamingo, you know, drowning. So that was like a funny reference to Patricia on Southern Charm. So go to facebook.com/watchforcrappens to get involved. And, of course, if you are feeling kind-hearted, like a good member of Charitable Dallas, you will go to patreon.com/watchforcrappens, where you can learn about how you can sign up and support us for as little as $1 per month. So you can, when you do support us, you get access to our bonus episode, which we just recorded. We talked at length about flying and flying and NoHo and lemonade and all sorts of Bravo gossip, what Kathy Wakile is up to lately, Michael and Kelly.
New business ventures for Ampeaker.
Yeah, we really got into it, so it was really fun. And then this Thursday, we have a Google Hangout for our Patreon subscribers at that tier, where we basically all get onto a Google Hangout together and, you know, chat and joke and talk about Bravo and talk about other things. So that's super fun. And, of course, that's also how you can submit questions to the Crappens mailbag, which we'll get into very shortly. We might just get into it right now. I mean, right? Would that be crazy? Should we just get right into the Crappens mailbag? Well, we can't just yet.
Hell yeah.
We can't just yet because I don't have it queued up.
Ding, dong, a dong.
Oh, here it is.
Lemonade.
I'm in the process of opening up the Crappens mailbag. It's loading up on my little laptop right here.
Lemonade right on my face. Trying to think of what Beyonce's lyrics are to her new lyrics.
That was actually the way the album was supposed to open up. Lemonade on my face.
Right on my face. I hope that all of these rumors are true and she's going to dump stupid Jay-Z, because if I have to hear one more song about Beyonce writing Jay-Z's face, I'm out of here. I'm out of here, Beyonce.
Well, yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot. And as I mentioned in the bonus episode, I still think that it's Casey from Princess's Long Island who's Becky with the good hair. Putting it out there. Okay.
Anybody on Princess's Long Island have good hair?
Casey probably had the best of them. Maybe her hair was funny looking. Don't tell her that.
How could you?
I'm the sexiest funny looking girl out there. So we start with Jamie. Jamie has a question. Actually, she has more of a statement, more like a demand. Jamie says, I would like to hear Patti LuPone singing at more celebrity funerals. Well, we can arrange
okay.
that.
Okay. Who else has died? A lot of people have been
David Bowie died. Rebel, rebel.
Oh, David Bowie with your crystal ball. I've never been able to use a crystal ball like that. Did you see it coming, David?
Ground control to Major Tom. Ground control to Major Tom. Universe.
That's ground control to Major Tom.
Tell my wife and children I love them very so. This is ground control to Major Tom.
China. It's for China.
Modern love. And me to the church on time, modern love.
She's a girl who thought she would fly around the world and end up in China. Now she's gone. China, gone.
Ho, 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 ho. It's a little China girl. Little China girl.
Who else has passed away? I feel like a lot of people have passed
away. A lot of people have. What about Michael Jackson?
Michael Jackson, he didn't just pass away.
No. It didn't have to be recent. It doesn't have to be recent. Jamie just said more celebrity funerals.
I was so happy and proud to have met Michael Jackson when he first opened Neverland. I thought it was a musical. Well, I showed up and, Michael, I'd like to dedicate this to you in your grave. Beat it! That's all I know from Beat It.
What about, you're a vegetable, you're a vegetable. Mama say, mama saw, mama saw. I'm a vegetable. And by the way, I just want to remind everyone that my Patti LuPone impersonation is purely based off of Ronnie's. Like, this is not my impersonation of Patti LuPone. This is my impersonation of Ronnie impersonating Patti LuPone. You're a vegetable. You're a vegetable.
I'm trying to think of
I'm looking
Michael
at
Jackson.
The man in the mirror. I'm looking.
It doesn't matter if you're black or white.
Do you remember the time when we fell in love? You remember the time we first met?
Because he's a thriller.
Billie Jean is not my lover. Billie Jean, just a girl, but the child is not my own.
Billie Jean is not my lover. Billie Jean is not my lover.
She is just she like doesn't a...
enunciate. She enunciates her non-enunciating. Oh, Patti LuPone.
Oh, my goodness. I wish I could think of someone else who died. Another good singer who died just to do more Patti LuPone
LuPone
songs.
Doesn't... I hope Patti LuPone doesn't die before anybody else because she needs to be singing at everybody's funeral.
Everyone's.
Jim Henson, you died a long time ago, but it's still with me. Why are there so many songs about rainbows? I mean, really.
It's time to start the party. It's time to start the show. Da, 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 it's the Muppet Show tonight.
Do-do-do-do, huh? Do-do-do-do, huh? That's a show from the Muppets, right? Do-do-do-do.
Oh my god, why am I blanking on everyone who died? I'm only thinking of actors. I'm not thinking of any famous singers. Such a shame. I'm like,
some of my friends are like, isn't that crazy how many people have died at one time? I mean, there was Prince, and there was that lady from Everybody Loves Raymond, and then there was like Michael Badundu. I'm like, who are you talking about? You can't just start inserting randos into the celebrity three, okay?
No.
Fucking internet. They're like, yeah. That guy has a YouTube channel. Who cares?
Yeah.
I don't sing at YouTube channel deaths. Okay. Yeah.
What about Nirvana? What about Kurt Cobain? I'm trying to think of a good source. And the lies it's contagious. And the lies are I don't even know
I feel
the lyrics
like Kurt
song.
Cobain died in such a weird way, and a woman was kind of at fault that she wouldn't even go there. She'd just use other Evita songs. She'd be like, oh, Kurt, another suitcase and another hole. Am I right, Kurt?
What else can I say? Everyone is gay. She could do she could do what's his face from Stone Temple Pilots.
And I feel the world's a friend.
Actually, the thing is that if I start doing Patti LuPone doing Stone Temple Pilots, I'll just turn into Scott Stapp.
When I feel the world's a friend with the number one.
If she did anything about pilots, she'd be like, let's go fly a kite over the chimney, right? Just be flying. I don't think she knows who Stone Temple Pilots are.
Yeah, no, she wouldn't. She wouldn't. Okay, so Catherine asks, she basically says, Flamingo Party, janky or nah? So I haven't seen Southern Charm yet, so I can't. In general, I would think a Flamingo Party would be janky, but I'm going to reserve my opinion until I see the episode.
Flamingos at the end of the day are all these dirty fucking creatures. They all look like they're wearing dirty clothes. Have you ever seen a clean-looking flamingo? They've always got, like, dust on them. They look gross. They stand in poopy water, and they all stand around there with one leg lifted.
Are you talking about Nobody Flamingo is the bird or Flamingo the casino? Because I would agree about the casino. It is sort of dusty and poopy.
Why do you
looking.
Think it's named after that disgusting bird?
Yeah, seriously.
Put your other foot down, flamingo.
Patti LuPone scolds a flamingo through song. Put your other foot down.
Don't come crying to me if you fall down.
Flamingo, why are you so pink? A real bird would be called blue or black.
I was going to play the flamingo in Andrew Lloyd Webber's Flamingos, and then they called Glenn Close. So I'll never be the same.
Even worse, Faye Dunaway. Wasn't the whole thing? Oh, was it? Wait, was Faye the issue Dunaway. With Glenn Close? Oh, I'm sorry. That's right. Patti LuPone had an issue with Glenn Close with Sunset Boulevard, but Faye Dunaway was an issue because of, what's it called? What was this one about the frog?
Oh, the Princess and the Pea?
No. Faye Dunaway, Andrew Lloyd Webber. It was a whole thing where Faye Dunaway
about
held
a
she held a press conference because she was so mad. I see a headline
down the street from my house. That's where she lives.
Wait, no. Okay, I got it all wrong again. Sunset Boulevard to be closed. Dunaway's singing is faulted. There was some issue with Faye Dunaway and Andrew Lloyd Webber.
She was singing in Sunset Boulevard. That's a terrifying thought.
She held a press conference. Okay, I'm bringing up the press conference because this doesn't
Ready
have anything to do.
For my close-up, Mr. Jamil.
It has nothing
Too
to
angry.
Do.
Too angry, Faye.
The thing is, this has nothing to do with Bravo, but since it's such a gay topic, it's sort of, it has everything to do with Bravo. It's Faye Dunaway fighting back against Andrew Lloyd Webber as soon as it eventually loads. There was an issue with Faye. She got mad at Andrew Lloyd Webber because he didn't use her for something. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, Lord. She's probably like, I will play Mary. I will play Mary. Or you will suffer. Faye Dunaway is too fucking mad.
I'm not blaming him for anything. We all make actions and decisions and behave in life because we're a product of who we are and the experiences of our life. I am not saying it's his fault. I'm saying that for whatever his interior emotional life is, he made decisions that were on the one hand completely supportive. He cast me. He told me as late as Monday night that he was ecstatic that I had come on, that the progress, in his words, the progress was remarkable, and then the next day changed his mind. So he tends to be a capricious man in my experience.
Ooh, Faye Dunaway with the tea on Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Well, sometimes it's just, could you imagine Faye Dunaway like trying to text you over and over, figuring out how
yes.
to use the FaceTime to yell at you properly?
Yes, I could actually imagine that. By the way, that entire news report, it said under, it was like Sherman Oaks. For some reason, that really cracked me up. Live from Sherman Oaks, Faye Dunaway weighs in on Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Faye Dunaway weighs in as she weighs her salad at the Ralph salad counter.
I swear to God, the one time I ever saw Faye Dunaway, I was at a yogurt shop and she went in there. And she got one of those, like, 32-ounce, you know, the super-sized things of yogurt where it's, like, it's basically, like, a pint or more than, no, it's, like, 2 pints, you know, or a quart. She got it filled up with yogurt, and she drove off in a Honda. And I thought, wow, this is not the way it's supposed to be.
It's really not. She goes to the Starbucks down the street from me, and one time I was in there, she wears this big sun hat, these huge sunglasses, because, I mean, she does live in West Hollywood, so these queens could be following her down, like, yell at Christina, beat your daughter, Faye, hit somebody, we'll take a picture, you know, so I don't blame her, but she's in this huge sun hat, and someone said, oh, that's Faye Dunaway, and I always heard she goes in there. And I was like, wow, you guys, what did Faye Dunaway said? And they're like, she's a bitch. I'm like, okay. They're like, do you know who that is? I said, yes, she's from, you know, she's from gay college. You know, she teaches that Mommy Dearest class. And they're like, no, she's terrible. But she always comes in and says, hello, how are you today? And then she's a bitch. Like, she opens with, like, rich lady bitch.
Yes.
I think she's that lady in West Hollywood who has all those signs all over her fence that say, these trees are treated. If your dog pees here, he will die. She's like that crazy old nut.
She is. I think her house is for sale. I mean, she's like on, I think she's on Spalding Avenue, like Spalding and like Willoughby or Spalding and somewhere in that area.
Yeah, that's where my friend lives on Spalding. So maybe that's why I think it's that house. I just pass it and there's just like so many I will fuck you ups all over that house. Like they're taped everywhere.
Yeah. No, she literally lives on Spalding because she put her house for sale and it was posted that, Faye Dunaway. It was like she lives in Spalding and like I don't know what the cross street is, but it's right there. I mean, we are so close to Faye Dunaway at all times.
I'll bet she's that lady on Spalding on the corner who puts all those trees around her house to try and be like Hollywood hidden, but you can't dig up anything in West Hollywood, so she just has them in huge pots across the sidewalk. So you walk through it, and it feels like you're walking through the Home Depot Gardening Center park, you know? Like these just huge potted trees, and then all these signs, like, warning about murdering your dog and stuff. I know that's you, Faye Dunaway.
Yeah, we figured you out. Okay, so back to the mailbag. Good old Sammy Suleiman. If you could pick any two housewives to star in a Cagney and Lacey-esque buddy cop show, who would they be? I love this question already. I would put, this is what Sammy's saying, I would put Dorinda and Kim Richards together as detectives in the LAPD's liquor store crimes division. And he goes, quote, you better back it up and put your hands on the wall. Back it up. Dorinda, stay here while I interrogate this Jack Daniels guy. That was my terrible Kim Richards impersonation. Sorry.
Hey, Dorinda, you're not supposed to be talking to me. I'm wearing a wig. I'm undercover. Yeah, it's me in a wig.
Kim Richards walking around in that bad wig.
Well, I think, but first of all, Dorinda and Kim Richards is an absolutely amazing combination. And Dorinda should almost be in any sort of Cagney and Lacey buddy cop show. But if we were to, given that Sammy already picked the best combination, I think that the second best...
Yeah, because that one every week would just be Kim Richards trying to see who stole her house. It's like the same mystery every week.
Yeah. Well, the funny thing is you could pretty much take any woman from Real Housewives of New York City, and they would fit perfectly in on a buddy cop show. Like Ramona investigating something, or Bethany, that's already amazing. Maybe even Ramona and Bethany as like a cop duo would be kind of perfect.
They just bad cop you until your head exploded because you'd just be so sick of them talking.
What
did you do? Did you murder that guy? I mean, just tell me, because like I saw that guy, like he came out of that building and then he was dead and then you were there too, and it reminded me this time about walking out of buildings. Like it's crazy, you know? Okay.
All right. What's the matter here? What's the matter? Okay, so there's a dead person here. Okay, so you killed someone. Okay, so what? Okay, you never seen a dead body before? Okay, like I grew up. There's like dead bodies everywhere. It's like it's by a racetrack. This is what happens. People die. Okay, it's part of life. Okay, like people die. Okay, like literally, you know what? I'm actually jealous of him. Like literally, kill me now so I can be with the corpse. Okay, because I cannot take this anymore. Like literally, like enough. Like if I have to ask another question about the dead body, like I'm just gonna be on the floor crying. All right, just my walls up. My walls up.
I'm so sorry. I asked you all those questions when you first came. It was the inappropriate time. Okay, like you came in here.
I'm sorry. I should have interrogated you alone. Okay. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I love you. I love you. It's crazy.
Do you like a glass of water? I love water. Okay. Water's delicious. Okay. Do you want some water? Are you okay? Okay. She's like hugging the guy, leaving the guy. Oh, Ramona.
I don't get it. Like, I don't get your alibi. Like it doesn't make sense. Like I don't. Like what's the brand here? Like what's going on? Like are you like were you like out of town? Were you like in the next room. Like, I don't get it. Like, what's going on here? Like, what's happening? Like nothing makes sense. Like, you do you. It's fine. Like, you know, you do your thing, but like, it doesn't make sense. I don't get it. Like, what?
I gave you a donut, okay? Like, I gave you a donut. Like, you're sitting there, you're just staring at the donut. That's not normal. Like, what are you? You're going to eat the donut? Like, that's a problem, okay? Like, I have a company called Skinny Girl. Like, you're not even Skinny Girl. You're, like, not healthy. Like, it's not normal, okay? Like, I'd read you my rights, but instead, I'm going to read from this book that I wrote for children, okay? It's like, kids, like, you know? Okay, first, my daughter got a chandelier in her room. It was $40,000. What do you think of that? Huh? Huh? Smartass? Huh?
This is what you got to do, okay? Like, your story's all over the place. Like, you got to just, you know, what you got to do is you got to hire a team that's legitimate and make sure you get your stuff in Bloomingdale's where it needs to be. Like, where's it going to be in Bloomingdale's? Like, it's going to be the front store? It's going to be the back? Like, who are you going to be with? Like, I don't get your brand. Like, I don't get your alibi. Like, it doesn't make sense. Like literally, like, kill me right now. Kill me right now.
So you're either just, like, a dirty lunatic off the street or you're a murderer. Like, what's your brand? Like, you need to tell me now, because I don't even know what to do with you. Like, are you a killer? Are you a nice killer? Are you just a poor person? Like, what is it? Like, if you're a homeless person, then you should be a murderer. Like, Trump's homeless.
Whoa.
Like, make it up. You know, like whatever. I believe in whatever you're going to be. It's just, like, I don't get it. You know what I mean?
Whoa. This is crazy. Okay, whoa. I'm, like, looking at this lineup right now. Okay? Bethany, those guys, first of all, they're super hot, and they keep on looking at me, and I'm like, guys, like, I may be on the market, but, like, I'm not available, okay? But this is crazy. That man over there, like, I swear, I know him. Like, I remember being in the forest in the Berkshires when I was a child, and that man was walking around. I swear to God, whoa, this is crazy. This is crazy right now. It's like, I'm sorry, you murdered someone, and that's day class A. I'm not going to date you. I'm not going to date you, okay?
Oh, sorry, guy. Like, you can't pick the guy because Ramona took him first, because that's so her. She's so selfish. She's like a dick selfish person, you know? Like she sees a dick, she takes it. We can't even accuse anybody anymore. Like, Ramona took the guy. Like what am I doing here? Like,
you know,
like, what am I?
I'm sorry. I'm renewed, okay? So I'm just going to I'm talking to guys because that's what I want to do. I want to talk to guys, okay? And, like, if you can't be with me on my journey as I learn how to be a single woman in New York City, then I'm very sorry for you. But this is what I'm doing. I'm renewed. And this is, you know, I remember one time I was once on OkCupid, and Geraldine Parsons-Smith came in and said, what are you doing? Why are you on this website? I said, I'm trying to find a man. And she said, you know what you should be on? You should be Not Okay Dionysus. And I said, what does that mean? She says, look it up. And to this day, I still haven't looked it up. I'm sorry.
I couldn't help but notice, okay? Like, we gave you a donut, and you didn't even eat the donut, okay? So I'm just wondering, do you mind if I take it home? Because maybe Mario will come over later. Like, I don't need him, but if he comes, like, it'll be nice to have a donut waiting for him. You know what I mean? Okay?
You know what? You know, it's crazy, because everyone's talking about Miranda rights, but I want to know, maybe Miranda's wrong sometimes. And who is Miranda anyway? Okay?
Who's Miranda? Does she have a white party? Okay.
like who is Miranda? Like I don't get it. Like, I don't get Miranda. Like, it's like, stop mommying me, Miranda. Like enough with your rights. Like, we know your rights. Like, get off my jock with your rights, okay, Miranda? Like, just let me just be me, okay? I just want to enjoy a dinner party for once, Miranda. Just once. I just want to do this, okay? Like literally, like, if you read me your rights one more time, my wall is gonna go up. I'm gonna be on the floor crying. Like, literally, kill me now, Miranda. Kill me now.
I would read you your Miranda's rights, but, you know, I'm not Miranda, I'm Carrie, okay? Bethany's Miranda, because she's always complaining and, like, everything's bad, you know? Like, sorry. Okay, Bethany, you read Miranda's rights, okay? I'll read Carrie's rights. You have the right to, like, you want to go out? You're so big. You're Mr. Big. I'm going to call him that. Right?
And then the commissioner comes in. You guys haven't done anything on this case for 3 weeks.
The commissioner.
I've got this criminal here. I named him Baby. Come to mama.
The mayor's breathing down my neck about this case. Oh, here's the mayor right now. Darlings, what is going on with this case? I mean, be cool. Don't be uncool with the case.
Well, that criminal just blew a booger out of one of his nostrils and it hit me in the face. A booger a la Francaise. This hasn't happened in a long time. I'm lightly stirred.
Here's what we know about the criminal. It came walking down the stairs in its Herman Munster shoes and then did the crime.
The criminal just bangs his head on the desk until he's dead. They would never be able to throw anybody in jail.
Another one killed himself, you know. Another one binds the dust.
Cha-chonk.
And then it's revealed to be Dorinda all along, and she pulls out her gun.
Okay, everyone, back it up, or Ramona gets it in the head, okay? Back it up.
Okay, thanks for listening to Watch What Crap. We're out!
We are off the... We are crazy. All right, I think that's it for the mailbag, because otherwise we're never going to get to our Bravo shows today. We are already, like, very deep in this podcast. Well, I know everyone is excited for us to get to the shows, but before we do that, I want people to know about Parachute.
What, Ben? What are you going
to
say?
I want them to know about parachutes. No, we have this wonderful ad for Parachute Home. I'm just looking at the ad copy for the very first time right now in case anyone can't tell.
we should probably redo it because they were just telling us the other day we can't sound like we're reading it.
Oh.
We have to sound natural.
Okay.
Them.
All right. Okay. I feel like I just want to keep this in anyway. So I'm going to naturally tell you guys that actually I have received... This is not copy right now. This is copy from the heart. Okay. They did send us some sheets. Ronnie hasn't gotten his yet because Ronnie ordered the fancy sheets that are back ordered. But I got the ones that are less fancy. Actually, I changed my order to the fancy ones, but they didn't see it. So I got the less fancy ones. And I'm very happy because I got the cool white Parachute sheets and they're very soft and delicious. And I'm very happy with them. Especially, you know, because I'm up here in NoHo and it makes me feel comfortable in this new burg of mine. So
I'm obsessed because I love bed. I love being in bed. And so when we got this sponsor, I was so excited because they actually have a blog where they like, you know, they teach you about decorating and I don't know, like how not to be ridiculous with this stuff. Yeah. And I actually go and read the blog. I'm like, wow, what a lovely use of clocks above the headboard.
I should actually read that blog because, well, especially because once I move back into my apartment after it's all renovated, I want it to look more adult than ever. So I will go to their blog. Maybe I should just, you know, they're actually based in Venice Beach, which is pretty close to us. So maybe I'll just like drive over there and be like, can you guys come over to my place and help me make my place look adult? Thanks. Bye.
Yes, because, you know, you can't have some great sleep without your sheets, y'all.
No.
And these sheets by Parachute, they're a line of everyday bedding essentials from sheets to comforters. And
you're not
they will
sounding
give you
natural.
Superior sleep.
You're not sounding natural.
Well, if we try and sound natural for every little talking point, we'll be here an hour. I'm like, hey, have you ever been to a website that's not straightforward? Let's talk about some.
Let's just cut to the chase here, everyone. If you want to get involved in the Parachute Home Revolution, or you just want some cool sheets, go shop online at parachutehome.com/crapmans for new sheets, duvets, and other bedding essentials, and receive $25 off your first order by using the offer code CRAPMANS. That's parachutehome.com, CRAPMANS, parachutehome.com/crapmans, and save by using the offer code CRAPMANS. Just remember... Code is Crappins. All right. There.
Do it, you guys. It's free shipping and free returns and 30 nights risk free. Do it. Do it. Do it. Do it. Do
but
it.
But on the 31st night, there's so much risk. The 31st night, I mean, you will not be able to sleep. The monsters are coming out. Like, good luck on that 31st night because it is nothing but risk.
Guys, if you make it to day 30, please come on our Facebook and let's celebrate.
And by the way, when the monsters come out, it's not that they're dangerous. They just want to play Risk. They love that game. It's like, fine.
Oh, Lord.
Lordy, lordy, lord.
So we've sure got some shows to talk about today, boom.
Oh, we certainly do. Oh, okay. So as we head into our Shaw's recap, I have to give a shout out. Sorry, I tried to make that work. Cormac Bluestone, I went to elementary school and middle school with him, and he messaged me last night randomly, which was weird because I was thinking about him earlier in the day. And his fiance, she has been an ardent fan of Watch What Crappens for the longest time, and they both watch Bravo, and I think that Cormac even listens too, and they just put two and two together. that, like, Cormac and I went to middle school, whatever. So I said I would give a shout out to Cormac and his fiance. So Cormac and fiance, not that I know your name, fiance.
Shout.
You've been shout. Shouted at. And out.
Let it all out. It is. So is this guy a billionaire? Because that is a rich person name.
Cormac Bluestone.
Cormac Bluestone. That is like somebody who's running name. The world. He's like part of the Illuminati or whatever, you know, the secret people ruining the world. So, sorry, Cormac.
Just
running the world.
You brought him up and then you took him down so quickly. So quickly.
Don't sign the prenup, fiance. He's rich. There's not a poor person named Cormac Bluestone on this planet.
It's a great name. I've always loved that name, Bluestone. I'll eventually. He's an actor, actually. So I guess he could still be the Illuminati someday.
Yes, that's why he works so much. God damn you, Cormac Bluestone!
So we'll find out what the fiance's name. We work our way up. Next episode, we'll get Cormac's fiance in. But everyone say hi to Cormac and his fiance and give him
love. Hello, Cormac. Hello, Mrs. Future Bluestone.
Future Bluestone. Bluestone.
I feel like that's the kind of glass that kills the dragons on the Game of Thrones. God, I wish you watched that show.
I know. I have no idea what you're talking about.
This lady on Game of Thrones this week went through a real house. Okay, skip forward 15 seconds. I'll make it quick if you don't want a spoiler.
But no.
This lady on Game of Thrones did a very Real Housewives thing. She took off a necklace and finally showed how old her ass really is. It's like one of these bitches taking off their face. And then you're like, whoa, not only is she really 90, she doesn't even try and have good posture or anything once she's in her own bedroom. She's just all hunched over. She looks like the lady who gave Snow White that apple.
Oh, I think I saw a picture of that. She looked like Gollum. Right?
Yeah, she looks like Gollum. Yeah. But then with the necklace on, she's all gorgeous. I was like, wow, that is so Real Housewives. This is
actually like the perfect segue into Shaw's of Sunset, where it's basically a show about keeping that necklace on as long as possible. So I took sporadic notes because the last few times we've been doing this show, we've just been sort of just going through every character and what they've been up to, right? Or do you want to start with Dallas, by the way? Would you prefer to start with Dallas?
Lead, honey. You lead, honey.
Let's do Dallas. Dallas is more fun. Darling, let's do Dallas. It's more fun, and I watched it this morning. So I'm sorry. This episode is all over the place. I'm talking about us, not Dallas. But so it starts off with Brandy. Brandy's missing her husband because he basically doesn't like her and goes out of town all the time. That little ginger fool.
Oh, Brandy, so sad. The sad little, well, she talks like this, little whisper, little talking. And then she has a drink. She's like, woohoo!
Yeah.
But now she's just, it's like close up to how the show starts. It's like this weird white people rock music. I don't even know where this music came from. It was like,
it's obviously coming from Aaron. It comes from Aaron in the garage, strumming away with his Keith Urban hair.
Sad crackery music, and then it's like close-ups of ginger kids missing their teeth, you know, like all the pictures.
Yeah,
it's like all these pictures of all these little ginger kids, and then Brandy sitting in bed like, oh, you're packing to go out of town again.
He's like, yeah, gotta go out of town.
My husband's busy, but I sure miss him. Homely ginger kid. Homely ginger.
I know, that's pretty much what it was. You know,
way to start on a bright note.
Exactly. That's a sad, sad household. You know, when he has more fun going to a Courtyard by Marriott than staying with his family, that there's a problem.
There's a courtyard there. I can never compete. The next scene, did you notice? I don't know why I'm noticing music so much, but the next scene was music that they've been using for years. It's like in the stock file.
I did know.
What was that from? Is that Orange County music?
Yes,
it is, right?
I noticed it wasn't the next. Well, I don't know about the next scene, but when later on, when Brandy and Stephanie went out on their quote unquote date, it was total Real Housewives of Orange County music. I was like, oh my God, there it is. That's like an Alan Lazar classic.
Yeah, I think this was too. It's like, doom. I was like, wait a second. This is Gretchen's feeling really angry or steaming mad.
This is a tour through the Gretchen Christine Butte inventory music.
I'm steaming mad.
Steaming mad. Oh, I forgot about that one. That should go in the glossary.
We need to go through that music again because that was so much fun.
I know. I got to find that link. So, okay. So now in the next scene.
The forest is leading to Leanne.
Yeah. So Leanne is talking about Rich and like how hot and handsome Rich is. Now, she didn't want to date him at first because she just saw white hair. But then he opened the door and was so handsome. And my favorite part was when she starts talking about how wonderful their relationship is and how it's been so great. They started showing photos of them, and for some reason, the first photo they showed was Leanne dressed fully like I Dream of Jeannie. And I don't know why. For some reason, that just like cracked me up. Like, you can take the kid out of the carny, but you can't take the carny out of the kid. Just such a bizarre
photo.
Well,
you know, it was real hard for me to be with someone named Rich because I'm poor. I mean, it would be more fitting if I just found someone named Bob. And I could just bob for apples all day. Don't mess with me or you're going to pay.
There's certain rules. If you're going to bob for apples, you got to follow the rules. And who the company you keep dictates the apples you can bob for, okay? So if you want to bob for some old Macintoshes, that's fine. But I like to have a Red Delicious.
And McCarney, we can't name our children Bob. They've almost drowned. You can't just tell the toddler to bob. Mm-hmm. Good Lord. I miss you, Carney. So she's talking about meeting Rich on eHarmony, and he's such a dream. I'm like, he was married 4 times.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's like going on the used section of Craigslist before you check the price of an iPad and realize months later that you paid the same price. You could have just gotten that shit in the store. Don't start with a man who's been married 4 times. I don't care how old you are.
Yeah, and I like Leanne, the way she's putting this nice spin on Rich's daughter, Elise. She's like, oh, I just adore Rich's daughter, Elise. She is just great. I just love her. I'm like, yeah, but what does Elise think about you? She is probably running for the hills every time you walk through the door.
Me and Elise are buds. I love that. Yeah. I love the Texas terminology. We're good buds. Not buying it, lady. Well, you know, when she wants something, she has to say, when she says something, she has to say it to me, and then I'll hint to Rich. Now I'm calling him Bob. Then I'll hint to Rich, and then I'll just hope he gets the message. You know what I mean? First of all, are you Erica Girardi? Because that's how she is in her marriage, mm-hmm. and she's really rich. And sec, do you remember? You remember when Elise made you that daddy? Why am I writing? Do you remember when me and Elise made you a Daddy's Day shirt? I don't even know what I'm talking about. Carry on.
I don't know. I just feel like Leanne has got to be the worst stepmom in the world. She's probably always like overbearing and insensitive.
Yes, her eyes are popping out, and she's just pretending. She's doing that pretend to be happy. Oh, we love having you here, Elise. Don't we love it? We sure do love it.
Oh, Elise.
Eat your dinner, Elise.
Elise, let's just go be gal pals. Let's go, like, do some crafting. Let's go to Michael's and we can find all sorts of beads and things and bows. Oh, don't bow for me. Don't you bow at me. Don't you bow at me for Michael's. Oh, I'll bow right back at you.
What does that mean, don't you bow at me? Like a bow and arrow, I'm guessing, right?
I'll look it up right now as we speak, but I've never heard of it before. Don't bow at me.
You bow at me, I'll bow right back at you. You wonder why there's no Cupid anymore? He's dead. Bowed at me and Rich. Shot him right through the head.
Oh, okay, so E! Online, Dallas's Leanne Locken explains what her bow at me taunt really meant. Okay, I'm opening it up. I've got very slow internet here in NoHo. Like, they don't have, like, wires and cables here like the rest of civilization.
It's turned you into a robot-y voice.
Sorry, everyone. Apparently, my NoHo Wi-Fi, as I was talking about how the NoHo Wi-Fi can be a little weak at times, it actually just broke. So we took a 20-minute break in the middle of our Dallas recap, and now we are back.
You know, it just hit me that we always apologize. It's not like we inserted just music in there.
I know, for 20 minutes. But we have to apologize because our flow is different. Things get weird. Things sound like we'll be talking about one thing, and we come back. We don't even remember what we're talking about. So let's
remember
just
when they had poop on their hats.
Like, I think we were trying to look up the definition of "don't bow at me," and
bow at me, Ben.
And then I went to ET Online where it said Leanne describes it, and then it was just an article saying Leanne was like, "Yeah, it just means you're gearing up for a fight." Well, we're like, we know that anyway.
You went on to ET Online, and Leanne said, "Entertainment Tonight."
The infotainment that you watch reflects on you.
Your Entertainment Tonight affects my today.
You don't know how long those elderly ladies took making Entertainment Tonight a thing.
What's Mary What's-Her-Buns from Entertainment
Mary
Tonight?
Mary Hart, yeah.
Yeah, Mary Hart's all, yeah, with her giant face, gigantic smile.
Yeah, well, anyway, we can just move on. Sorry, now I'm like sipping a muscle milk.
Oh my God.
Not that I have any muscles to milk. But,
thin muscle milk.
I know, I don't have my Think Thin bar today. So, okay, so now we go to Brandy and Stephanie going out for date night, which to me was noteworthy because this was like the first time that either of them have shot a scene that did not take place at a McMansion, right? This is the first time they were not in like a kitchen or a garage or backyard.
Weren't they taking their kids on car? Weren't their kids
later
driving around on that car?
Later, but right now they were at actually like a restaurant. I was like, they're allowed out of the cul-de-sac? Like, we've only seen them at other people's houses or at little tables or something like that, but we've never seen them out in society. This is sort of
that
shocking.
Poor restaurant. Oh my God. It's got to be obnoxious to have any Real Housewives shooting in your restaurant, but to have those in particular.
Mm-hmm. Oh, here we are in a restaurant. Here we are.
What's her laugh? I can't even remember it.
Stephanie does. I was practicing it before, which means it's totally gone now, but I'm going to give it a try. She's nope, that's not it. Not it.
It's not a suck in. Like,
I'm doing the most demented laugh I've ever done.
it's just
everyone just go find a dog, give it a chew toy, and that's the laugh.
If we could play this backwards, that would be
that's,
it.
Yeah, that's
like
where it's
reverse. It comes out of her throat backwards or something. There's something really fucking weird about it, but
it's
she
so
does
weird.
It all the time. And it was that Dangerous Gretchen song.
Yeah. So we got two dinners going on because while Brandy and Steph are at dinner at some place where they're getting sushi, then Leanne and Rich and Elise,
the fucking Chuck E. Cheese or the steak and griddle.
Yeah, they're at the 420, whatever it's called. But they're doing a birthday dinner for Elise, and it looks so awkward and boring. And Leanne,
don't we love having dinner, Elise? We love it, don't we? We are such buds. Dinner, Elise.
I hope you like what I got you. It's some Birkenstocks for your big fat feet.
When I was young, rich people weren't even on my radar. But now that Elise is, I'm like, what are you even talking about? Why do you have to bring up rich people in every sentence? This isn't even about rich people. It's about you having a dinner for your kid who you're pretending to like.
I know. Rich people never came to the carnival when I grew up. But now that I am out by rich people, I realize the whole world's a carnival.
When I was growing up, we just called rich kids. They all had the same name, Mark. Okay? I've never met rich people with so many different names.
Now all I do is dream of getting on the scrambler with a big old rich man.
A scrambler. One day, I'm going to turn this scrambler where I'm eating right now into a real trip on a scrambler.
I remember the first time I had a fantasy about taking a rich man into the Salt and Pepper Shakers. Oh, that was a great dream.
If you haven't been married four times, you haven't even been married one time if you're a carnival girl.
So anyway, so while Elise is getting her Birkenstocks, then Carrie goes and joins Brandy and Steph. She's like, oh, I just happen to be all dressed up and in the neighborhood, so sure, I'll come by.
Please tell me that she really got Birkenstocks. Is that what she got?
She basically got Birkenstocks, yeah. I mean, I wish I could be so snarky as to come up with, like, Birkenstocks as the joke, but, like...
That's just funny that hippie stuff has finally hit Leanne's house. She's like, well, all the kids are wearing these. I mean, these are crazy. When we were in the carnival, I would save up. I'd see all the rich kid with their little smirking stocks, smirking, little mimicker shoes, mimicking sandals.
$100. Are those real Birkenstocks, or are those just mimics? Are those mimics of Birkenstocks? Oh, I see your shoes are really doing a great job mimicking Birkenstocks. Real great mimickers.
Little mimickers.
They should, you know what they should call those shoes? Mimickers. Trademark it. Mimickers. I got a new pair of mimickers because I mimic other shoes.
It's all squishy on the inside, though. Just like those,
and
those
that's
foam
what
chillers.
That's what I love about those shoes, because it's their comedy and that's their life. I love that about them. That's what I love about them.
It's your art. It's Rena. I'm going to slip into Rena in a minute.
It's your art. The way that you fake sickness. I mean, wow, that's your art, baby.
Own it. Own it. Don't bow at me, real Birkenstocks.
Don't rent me fake Birkenstocks, okay?
Don't
bow at fake shoes.
Don't bow at me, Tevas.
Oh, my God.
So anyway, so the other girls, so Carrie shows up. She's wearing crazy earrings that look like samurai stars. And they decide, well, she's like, well, I've been married 3 times, but I never had a bachelorette party. They're like, well, why don't we go to the strip club? We're being totally spontaneous. This wasn't planned for us by the producers. We're going to go to the strip club. So
they must have really good laws in the men's favor in Texas that so many men have been married this many times. How many marriages have there been on this show? Amongst these couples, they're all like, well, I was married 3 times. My husband was married 4 times. That girl, my mom had me when she was 12. Then my grandma had her again when she was 13. It's like, Jesus Christ, stereotypes. How many times have y'all been married?
I know. It's like a lot. One for every spoke in Carrie's earrings. So anyway, they go to the strip club. The strippers, you know, I'm always in favor of it because I always love when there's like a male stripper, you know, sequence, one of these shows. But I have to say, I don't know if you noticed it, one of those strippers was fully fat and firm.
I know you're not fat shaming a stripper while you're drinking muscle milk.
I am. Listen, if it's your job, you knew it was going to happen. If it's your job, you can't be looking like that. Not like, I mean, I understand there's an appeal.
Hot, fat stripper meat right there, okay? They're still ripped. They still have the implants showing. You know, maybe the fat's just behind their washboard implants because I saw those washboards, but yeah, they were.
Yeah, they were. I know. Well, I was like, is he built or is he fat? It was one of those things. But it was a case of he wasn't hired because he has a relatable body. He was hired because he used to be jacked.
Relatable? That guy is not relatable. He looks like he could lift a car. He's just, you know, beefier.
He just, you know, rawr. He just. And listen, I'm sure he's totally sexy in person, but I'm just saying, you're on Bravo. You have to like. You know, you have to be toned up. You're not like a podcaster like we are, okay?
Listen, if people are going to make that street on Potomac look like it's a fancy diamond-dripping street, then I'm going to get a fat person from Texas stripping for me, damn it.
Yeah, well, sure enough, Brandy got up on stage and unleashed her inner Camille Grammer and just went nuts on the stripper. And I said, you go, girl, as my mom said this weekend. I was like, Mom, did you just really say you go, girl? My mom also said bling this weekend. I don't know what is happening. I don't know what is going on.
Wait until your mom hears about Birkenstocks.
She's a good mimicker. That's what. My mom's a good mimicker with slang.
So they're going to the strip clubs, and I love that Carrie's like, you know, a strip club is just going to be tea bags of Texas. Brandy was that girl who just goes way, way too far in the strip club. She was cleaning the floor with her hair. What?
She was. She was up on his cheek and everything. She was going pretty far. Like, maybe, probably was not the most appropriate behavior.
You know how the strippers are going to look to the rest of their neighbors because you behave like this in their strip club?
You are who you strip for, okay?
Well, she did say earlier, she's like, we're real good friends, me and Stephanie. Like, we get white girl wasted. No. And this is white girl wasted. And then the next scene. My husband's mad at me.
Well, so then the next thing that actually does happen, though, is we will get to that. But Tiffany shows up at Leanne's house, and Leanne serves her basically a goblet of wine. It's a full on giant wine glass that she fills with a half a glass of Boone's Farms. So, I wrote this note that I said, suddenly Tiffany is like, it's a joke. Oh, about the poop. So they're talking about the Mad Hatter event that they went to last week.
Yes, where but I have to ask you a question, Ben.
Yes, of course.
Is Leanne going to give dogs her dog's biscuits in every opening of every scene?
How about in every scene?
Her giving something to those dogs.
I think she wants to show that she's actually charitable. This is how you get into society. You have to feed dogs biscuits.
These biscuits cost 10% of my income.
I know this because I'm a good mimicker. I know what they do. I know what society does.
Oh, that's all you see is her feeding fucking dogs.
I know. Every single scene. So it was weird, though, because they're talking about how Carrie put the poop on
on the chair at the Mad Hatter thing, the fake poop. And Tiffany was like, yeah, but it was only a joke. I'm like, wait, you were the one who was also pissed off. Why, since when did you become, it's a joke, you know?
Tiffany.
She's it was just, funny. What wasn't funny about it was rude. It was rude.
You are responsible for who you show up with. That is part of society.
How do you think I look with you laughing at people like that? Now I look terrible. Like I know someone who would laugh at something like that.
Yeah. By the way, lady, the way to get into society is not to be sitting around in the backyard of your brick house with giant gallons of Boone's Farms that you're guzzling with your friend, okay?
Like that propane tank is leaking, lady.
Yeah, that is... what you're doing right now is not an example of society.
And I love her Texas talk of how she's just being nice. She's mm-hmm. like, I need to talk to those girls. I can only have a clear conscience if I, you know, if I give them the information. Yeah. You are responsible. In Dallas, you are judged by who you associate with.
Like, you know, it was total, you know what it reminded me of? It was a total flashback to Andrea on season one of Real Housewives of Melbourne, when she's like, I'm just going to give her some advice. All she needs is some advice. I'm just going to give her some friendly advice.
Yeah.
Just a little advice.
Just going to give you some advice there, like, you're a terrible person. Yeah, there's your advice.
Gina, I just have a little bit of friendly advice for you. Just a little bit of friendly advice. You know what I call a little bit of advice? Something friendly to do.
Well, Leanne, stop talking about advice. That's your advice. Because you're saying in Dallas you're judged by who you associate with, but you're sitting there next to Tiffany.
Yeah, exactly.
You lose.
You know, the thing is that I actually get the feeling like Leanne could be super fun and funny and like the star of the show. But she kind of can't get over her own shit. You know, she's in her own way, and therefore she's actually the villain.
Yeah, I love it.
In a great way, in a great way.
She's like my hero villain. If I were a Real Housewife, I would be her.
Yeah. So then, meanwhile, Tweedledee and Tweedledum, frickin' Frack, Stephanie and Brandy, they are once again hanging out on the stoop while their kids go flying down the street in this car, which, you know, if one kid was in it, that's like fine. It's still kind of dangerous. But you got two kids in the front and you got two kids hanging off the back. Like, there are going to be a few broken arms by the end of this scene. And they go flying off into traffic practically. And the mom's just like, whatever.
East Coast, darling. I mean, in Texas, a little baby car where kids are literally sitting on the trunk of the car or whatever, that shit's hilarious. And you'll see adults do the same thing.
It felt like to me like they were recreating the beach scene in She's All That, you know, when they all drive up and the Wrangler and Paul Walker, rest in peace, is there, you know, and they all go play volleyball. That's what it was. It's like a little kid version of She's All That.
Those kids were hanging off the back. They're like, have fun.
Yeah, they're like, go drive around the highway a few times. We'll be here drinking.
And it's not like you're going to get hit by like a tiny little car or a bike or something like that. In Texas, you're going to be hit by a Mack truck of a car.
I know. I feel like also when the car eventually came back, there were only three kids in it. I was like, what happened to Ginger number four?
He just got swooped up. This big truck, Pat, is like, just snatched the kid right off the back of the car. They're like, bye, we'll be drinking over here.
He's already like, you know, he already struck oil somewhere. So he's already making millions at the end of the street. So now we learned that Brandy's husband, Brian, he's upset about the strip club because he doesn't like that she went out and did that. And her theory is that, you know, they used to go out together all the time and now he doesn't. So he's sort of jealous. I'm like, whatever. It's your fault, husband.
I embarrassed him when I went to that strip club. It's about his reputation. Mm-hmm.
Wait till he sees this show.
Yeah.
You're cleaning the floor with your hair in the strip club. And just before that, you were gluing shit to hats at charity parties. He's going to love this show.
Oh, yeah. No, they're going to be divorced by the end of the year. Like, 100%. When she said that he's concerned about his reputation at the business or the business's reputation, I was like, okay, well, you're divorced now. You've actually now just got divorced because you're on a reality show, okay? And that is the least of your concerns is the strip club, okay?
Yeah, you better start ciphering some money.
Yeah, put some in the mattress because... And put the mattress somewhere because you're not even going to get to keep the mattress.
I love the supportive friend, Stephanie.
Guys don't even understand how guys and girls strip clubs are so different. I mean, guys are just like in sync. They were even fat.
Stop statues of horses breaking through walls.
Oh, yes.
Moving on to Tiffany's house.
Oh, yeah. And even better, not just Tiffany's house, her garage, where Aaron's been relegated to sitting on a stool singing.
You're an October girl. October is my time of girl. Yeah, October. October. And then he whips out the harmonica. Girl, you better shut up about October. Nobody wants to rock out to thinking about October. It's a cold month. It's about to turn winter.
Yeah, it's haunted at the end of it, too. So then Tiffany is, like, making cocktails in the kitchen and humming along. You know, she is, I mean, she's, one thing I love about Tiffany is that she's such a cougar. Even though she's not a cougar, even though her husband, they're the same age, he just has, you know, a facelift. Like, she, though, is such a Texas cougar, you know?
Yeah, and she's so into her young man stuff. She's like, October, that's right. My man singing something about October. While I crack open the biggest bottle of Skinny Girl margarita
you've ever seen
in your life.
I was like, I think that's Skinny Girl, but the logo is blurred out.
That was like the Costco size Skinny Girl. I've never seen that before.
Yeah. So my favorite part is, so, you know, she's saying how her whole thing is she feels bad because she dragged him out of LA to Dallas because she wanted to come home. So she sits there and she's like, yeah, you know, I was thinking about how you're really trying to, you know, make inroads in the music scene here. And I was thinking about, for me, like how, like, at this point, I thought she was going to say how I want to help you. I want to see what I can do to contribute. And she's like, and for me, I want to get into the charity scene, just like how you want to get in the music scene. I was like, oh, okay, well, I guess you're not planning to help him that much. But I was wrong, because then she's like, I want to throw a charity event, and then you can play it. It could be a charity concert.
Oh, good. I'll put on a show that you can play at.
Yeah.
Wow.
Great.
No way to make a man feel more like a man. And then, of course, he's like, that'd be great, actually, because that's what I wanted to do. I'll plan myself a big gig.
I can't wait to finally get to play in the foyer instead of the garage. It's be a big move in my career. I hear in Potomac they got a great foyer scene.
Hey, listen, am I going to have to hear the sand? Oh, I'm sorry, that's the wrong guy. Am I going to have to hear the sound of the bowling pins being re-racked? Then I'll won. All right.
So Tiffany, she's like, it was kind of sad. She's like, yeah, now that once I throw a charity event, then I'll finally get some respect because everyone hates me. Like, aw, Tiffany.
Well, it would help if she didn't walk out like, well, I came from L.A. where I did 19 lines of coke off bathroom floor. I met my boyfriend in the bathroom in L.A. I mean, I was passed out on the floor. He literally got pee sprinkles on me, woke me up. And now look at us. I'll meet together forever.
I like to do a line of cocaine for every year I was in L.A., and that was almost 16, so there you go.
Are those people walking away from me? Where are you going? All right, call me.
Chariot.
I'm so sorry. I just wanted to say that she's like, I feel responsible to help him. Wait, hold on. God damn it, I interrupted you, and then I interrupted myself.
Well, that's what you get. No, so...
Here it is, Ben. When she says... Look, I know what everybody thinks about me. I'm the thin young one with a hot husband.
I love when people do that. And they just say, fine. I'm just that impossibly gorgeous import from Los Angeles. You know, what can I do? No one takes him seriously.
What should I do about Leanne? He's like, well, in Australia, we've got a saying. Run. Run.
Well, this is what gets me so excited. Okay, I've talked about this so many times about various reality shows. I probably mentioned my theory. I don't know if it's even a theory, but one of my favorite tropes, motifs, whatever, conceits, storylines in reality TV is when there's a sidekick and a master. I always call them the master. So Leanne's like the master and Tiffany's the sidekick. And when a sidekick gets their own wings or attaches onto a different master, it makes for the best shit ever. Like, the best. Sorority Life Season 1, I know I've talked about this on this podcast before. Sorority Life Season 1 was all about a sidekick finding a new master, pretty much The Hills. The Hills was all about the sidekick master divorce, because it's always rocky. There's always these crazy rifts. I mean, you look at Elsie and Heidi, okay? I mean, it's just, it's the best. It's
oh
the best.
Oh, my God, yeah. It's one of the best ever. It's like Robin finally, you know.
Getting away from Kermit.
Yes.
Is that who you're talking about?
Yes, totally.
Okay. I wasn't sure if it was a different Robin. Oh, you were going to say Batman?
Yes, of course.
I was like, I mean, is there even another Robin from Robin
and
Kermit?
Well, I guess I've been eclipsed, guys. That's why there's so many songs about rainbows.
There should be a Robin switch, you know? Like, suddenly Batman's sidekick is Muppet Robin. And then Batman Robin is the Muppet show. Muppets have come a lot recently, come up a lot. So anyway, the reason why I'm saying all this is because Tiffany is clearly trying to, you know, distance herself from Leanne. She's already starting to put these seeds in, like, well, you know, I like Leanne, but she's a lot. Oh, yeah, I like Leanne, but, you know, she's always a pain. You know, she's always getting into fights, whatever. You know, I like her. You know, she is getting there.
I don't want to live in the past like Leanne, okay? Leanne's past wasn't spent on bathroom floors, snorting things, meeting strange people. I don't want to live in the past like Leanne. I want new friends.
Like
they
Carrie.
Better coke.
Like Carrie. Suddenly, Tiffany's all up Carrie's ass. She's like, well, you know what I love about Carrie? She's sort of young and hip. She looks so good. Oh, she looks great. I love that Carrie.
Wow, wait. That Carrie, like, she used to have a guy and she wanted him to be something else, and boom, now he's something else. He's now, not he's walking around fat. You know, he's not singing songs about October in a garage.
Sorry, I just got distracted because my phone rang and it was not Leanne on the phone, which I was hoping for. I was hoping she would chew me out.
Tiffany is having her over to tape a YouTube show.
Yes.
And this is called the Style Sanctuary, or the
Sanctuary
is
Style.
Okay, why are strippers and, like, hookerish people so obsessed with church themes?
I don't know. Like, it's a strange bordello shit.
Yeah, it's so old. They're like, wow, cross, sanctuary. Yeah. It's the sanctuary of stilettos. Oh, shut up.
Yeah, I was wondering what this Sanctuary of Style thing was. Is this where, like, style goes to take a rest?
It goes to pray for itself. Yeah. It's like, please forgive me.
Yeah. So anyways.
I'm an accessory whore, okay? Unlike in L.A., that's when I was a whore. Like, it's just different. Like, this is different, you know?
She is so up Carrie's ass. She just wants Carrie to be her new master. She loves that Carrie is attractive. She's really obsessed with the fact that Carrie is attractive. And she just keeps on gushing about the closet and everything. And I was really confused until a little bit later on, jumping ahead, when then she asked Mark, she's like, hey, Mark, can you do something about this thing under my chin? I was like, oh, I see. You just want a free consultation. I get it all.
It'll be for charity.
Yeah,
I'll wear my new chin out at a charity event. You can even put a boob in it. I just do not like this little duck foot. Okay.
So Tiffany has a fashion blog, which is like the new Bravo thing for bored housewives. Like, they have a fashion blog as if it's going to do anything. Who has
a
fashion blog?
Well, it's happening in the rest of the world too. It's just called Instagram.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you have Stassi has a fashion blog. Katie has a fashion blog. Pandora sort of has a fashion blog. What's Kristen Takeman has a fashion blog. Juliet from Laser London has a fashion blog. And now Tiffany has one.
Don't forget hashtag bell peppers. Hashtag yoga upside down on oriental rug. Hashtag rug.
Hashtag that's not a fashion blog. That is a fashion lifestyle brand.
That is a hashtag. How lucky are you to read my Instagram?
How lucky are you to be tagged with a hash?
But like any good person, any good YouTube channel is created by the man holding the flip phone,
yes,
the video camera, which in this case is Aaron What's-His-Buns, October, yeah. October later.
Keith,
and Mark
Aaron
whips out, and Mark turns out the fat-shamed ex-fat husband tends to, of course, be the one who knows everything about fashion.
Yeah, exactly. He's obsessed with women's clothes, and he pretty much takes over this little interview. But I will say, by the way, that Tiffany was really good on camera. She was really good as like a hostess. I feel like I can really see her as the local news entertainment reporter, you know? Like, you know how ABC here in LA has, like, ABC on the red carpet or something like that? I can imagine her being Dallas's red carpet correspondent, you know?
Like, way before the, you know, the people from, I'm trying to think of little cable stations, but it's, like, all the way at the end, right before the carpet starts. It's like, hi, good to see you. Okay, you're going to be asked a lot of questions, but okay, hi, great, good to see you.
Hi.
I was wearing to see you.
Hi, this is Tiffany Hendricks with Fashion by Dallas. What do you have to say about your look right now? Great, great, great.
What's your favorite month? Mine is October. Okay, keep walking. Good to
see you. So great to see you again. This is Tiffany Hendricks reporting from the Dallas Denny's that just opened up, Red Carpet Fiesta.
You know, a lot of movies are opening this weekend. But you're not going to see them because you will be at the new Honda dealership. Am I right, Mr. Honda? Okay. You have a good one. Okay. Welcome to your own dealership.
Hi, we have a scoop here on Tiffany's red carpet. This is Chauncey, who works in the parts and labor department of the Honda dealership that just opened up. Hi, Chauncey. Tell us, what do you like more, brakes or shocks?
Brakes or shocks. Well, Chauncey was going to answer that. But okay, Chauncey. Okay,
Chauncey. Oh, he is just great. What a lovely man, Chauncey. Chauncey, what are you wearing? Grease? Oh, okay. I haven't heard of that designer before. Okay, great.
Love the movie. Bye.
Bye, Chauncey. Or Chauncey. Hey, Chauncey. Chauncey, this is Tiffany Hendricks. You may remember me from the Honda dealership. How are you? So good to see you on the red carpet again. Do you mind if I ask you a few questions? No? Okay, Chauncey. Okay.
Poor Tiffany. Actually, we give her a lot of shit. She probably doesn't do any. I don't even think I can nail her actual voice if it was played.
No, I can't. My accent's all over the map. It's probably veering into Georgia and into London. But you know what? No, but I'm being totally serious. She actually was really good on camera, like as a hostess.
Yeah, I think she was too. He's like, all right, hold on a minute there. Don't change the tape. Got to move some stuff to my iCloud.
Yeah. I did love how Carrie was making fun of her husband. She keeps on calling him her wife, which could be totally emasculating, but it sort of works. And I love when she goes, after the interview, since he pretty much took it over, she just goes, if he had hair, he'd flip it.
Yep. The emasculation seems to be kind of what he's into.
Yeah, like, I think
so. He seems just so charmed by her. She's like, this guy, this loser, huh?
Yeah.
Am I right, guys?
Am I right?
Don't worry, he's not gay. I still have to fuck him. My rock girls. He's like, you're so funny, honey.
So then we go back to Brandy's house. Brandy's storyline was all sorts of sadness. Every scene was sad. So,
how can you be sad when a scene opens with a close-up of a jug of Tito's being poured into a blender?
Exactly. Big old Bloody Marys coming down the pike.
Brandy,
so,
I don't know what these are, but... Really? Because you just saw her put vodka and tomato juice in the blender, Dodo. What do you think they were?
I call it a bleeding Tanya. No, it's a Bloody Mary.
Crazy having a mystery drink with Mama, right?
I call it tomato surprise.
So this scene was weird because the mom is like confessing that her father didn't disown the grandkids because of the reason she said it's not because she had them when she was 16. It's really because she chose sides in the divorce and she chose her mom's side and refused to talk to the grandpa.
Yeah, exactly. So it was sort of like a sad thing where basically the mom, who reminded me somewhat of like Judith Ivy meets Cherry Jones, starts talking about how she basically cut her dad out and now the dad is trying to get back into their lives, and she starts crying and it's kind of sad.
But she's so Texas with how she says it. Well, I don't know how you got the idea that we didn't talk to him because he refused to speak to me after I got pregnant when I was... Like, I don't know when you got the idea this was all your fault. Because you told her. Yeah. How old is she? I don't know how you thought that.
Maybe I don't know why.
Misconstrued something.
I don't know how you got that idea. Maybe it's because you've always been a little stupid, you know? But that's not your fault. That's mine for having bad genes to pass along to you, dear.
Pretty much. That's a pretty huge thing. She's like, well, okay, then bring him over.
Yeah. So then we go back to the Sanctuary of Style shoot, and it's afterwards, they're hanging out, and Tiffany is still just like loving Carrie, etc. And I love how Tiffany told the story about how she met Aaron, and she's like, well, I was on the way to Chin Chin, and I was in such a rush, and he was in a rush. We just ran into each other and married 4 months later. I'm like, listen, nothing good has ever come from going to Chin Chin, all right? So don't put love talk in this match. I guarantee you.
That terrible salad was the start of a beautiful thing. I'll give you that, Chin Chin.
It's so funny how I was going to Chin Chin when we first met, because I was just thinking, I want to do something with my chin. Can you do that for me, doctor?
And Carrie's like, well, I've been married 3 times. I mean, look, I didn't look at Mark and think he was perfect. I mean, look at him. Just look at him. You know, I knew I have to mold him. I was married 3 times. I learned to mold a man. Okay, change the fucker. It's like, God, so romantic, Carrie.
I know.
She doesn't even talk like that, by the way. She has no accent.
Does she ever wonder why her second husband straight up just disappeared? I think it's pretty evident.
That was her story. She was like, well, the first one, we were just young. The second one, 3 months later, I came home and he was just gone. And then I found Mark, this fat guy in some grocery store, made him get thin, be a doctor. Here we are.
Yeah, then Stephanie's like, if my husband ever went and disappeared on me, I would kill him. I mean, I would have to find him. Then I'd kill him.
Backwards.
I can't do her laugh. It's too far removed. I need to hear it again. Oh, sorry. Sorry, listeners. Sorry, listeners. I know the last thing you need to hear. It's something that sounds like your wheel falling off in your car.
Yeah, I can't do it backwards.
I can't do it. So then now Tiffany goes over to Leanne's house. And, of course, Leanne has, like, these bins and bins of things that have to be donated to charity. Leanne is totally the friend that invites you over under pretense of, I just have a few things I need you to help me with. And then it's like, next thing you know, you're lugging out bin after bin after bin.
And next thing you know, you're holding one of those L brackets and they're making you put together IKEA bullshit.
Yeah, exactly. So Tiffany, you know, like she's still a sidekick. So she's kind of floating the idea by Leanne that she's interested in being friends with Carrie. You know, she sort of wants to kind of get her approval. And Leanne is like, no, 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 no.
Those girls, I mean, you think she's funny, huh? You think it's funny to put poop in someone's chair? I mean, what are they going to do next? Burp the alphabet? She's literally going to burp out the alphabet.
I know. I'm like, Leanne, you're a little too good at that, actually. They're not even going to burp it right. They'll probably have to take breaths in between. If you're going to be a real lady, you got to burp the entire thing, A to Z.
She does the whole, what you need to learn is your reputation is based on your friends thing again. And mm-hmm. then she goes, well, I need to help these girls, okay? If you're going to be friends with them, then I need to step in and let them know how the rules work.
Yeah, the rules.
I don't like drama, okay? That's why there's a sign on my door that says, I don't like drama.
Well, she had that very strange metaphor there where she was like, that's why there's a door on this house, because if you have drama, you stay out. You don't get to come through the door. But if there's no drama, you can press the doorbell, and then I'll open the door, and then I'll check your bags for drama. And then
and
I'll
notice that I may seem dramatic right now, but I'm doing it in the backyard. Okay?
Yeah, notice I'm outside. The drama's outside. Only nothing but comedy inside. And, you know, I just love your comedy. That is what makes you special, your comedy. You're such a good mimicker.
This girl, Tiffany, wants to kill herself. This isn't going to work out.
No, it's going to be a disaster. So then we go to Brandy and her husband, and they're in the kitchen, and they're talking in hushed tones for no reason. The kids are out of the house. She's like, hi, how's it going? Good, how are you? Good.
I was getting the girls ready, and, you know.
Well, the gas isn't working. I already told you that. And I was like, well, she didn't even make a fart joke, so this is really dramatic.
Yeah,
this-
he was doing a metaphor about their marriage, by the way. So then he's... Then she's like, so I found out that my grandpa, turns out that he wants to meet us because it was my mom keeping him away this whole time, not him. So he's going to come by. It's going to be a pretty important life thing for me, and I think it's going to be pretty emotional. He's like, all right, I'll try to make it, but they do have some new coffee filters at the Best Western I'll be staying at, so I might not be able to make it.
He doesn't even pretend. Like, he doesn't even pretend to be nice. He's like, oh, you know what? I forgot I had a conference call.
Yeah, I forgot.
Who says that?
Yeah. Oops, I have a conference call with Mallory Collinstein. So we're going to, Mallory and I are going to call each other and talk about things now. So bye.
Just, give me a shout when you decide to stop whisper crying. Bye. So Carrie and Stephanie, what are they having? Okay, so they're going to lunch. This is the big powwow lunch where Leanne's just going to show them the rules.
Just teach them. Just tell them what people are saying and teach them things about what's appropriate.
Usually on these shows, they're like, you better stand up for yourself. I will stand up for myself. You better. I will. I will, too. And then the person comes in. They're like, we love you.
Yeah.
And it seemed like it was going to be like that because she does walk up. And, of course, they're like, hi. But it had a nice turn to it.
Yeah, well, because basically Leanne's like, listen, I'm not here to scold you or have a bitch session. I'm just here to tell you what people are saying and just sort of give you a heads up about what's appropriate. And you know what? Dog poop is not appropriate. That is not appropriateness. They're elderly women. Elderly women put this together. That's not appropriate. It's not appropriate. It's not appropriate.
Do you all have the internet where you live? Because if you did, and you were looking at the headlines this week, you would know what I mean when I'm saying this is inappropriate. And she hands out, she whips out these Xerox print, these like inkjet printed things or whatever, and hands them over. And she's like, look at what my friend wrote. They're like,
that's the TMZ of the charity world.
Yeah, Brandy's hat made charity TMZ. Shocker.
So good. Okay, so as a gift, I pressed pause and I screenshot the screenshot of this book. I have to read it to you.
Please, because it was too much.
It's a picture of Randy with her hat.
Yeah.
There was some fabulous hats. I'm guessing these are the big queens that Leanne went and tattled to, but I don't know.
Yeah.
There was some fabulous hats. Most of the really outlandish were created by professional designers and some real wackadoodle creations. I heard that one woman had read that in France you don't have to pick up your dog poop. So she used floral moss to create her quote unquote garden and used plastic pieces of dog poop on her hat as a joke. Some didn't find it amusing, particularly when a piece of the fake poop ended up on one woman's chair. Kel horror. Okay, and there's another paragraph. Candy Evans showed up with a real live parrot perched atop her head and confessed she was terrified the whole time. Not that it would fly away.
What a confession.
But that it would cuss. Apparently, the bird has a real potty mouth. Not to fear, the bird was very well behaved and kept quiet, although it did poop on her. SS la bae.
See, now that was real poop, okay? That is not, it's about appropriateness. I love that. Obviously Leanne was, Leanne obviously was speaking to these guys because no one would have known about the poop on the chair unless Leanne had gone and told them.
And he didn't even, or her, I don't even know who wrote this, but they're not even really that scared. And I love that the entire TMZ for charity is about shit. Even the story after is about it.
Exactly. And that the woman was more scared that the parrot would curse than shit on her. I would be afraid of the shit the entire time. The entire time.
Oh, that is so good. I love that that's a real fucking blog. The TMZ charity.
I know. And I love that Leanne just goes on and on about appropriate. She just mentions appropriate every single sort of version, conjugation of appropriate. She uses appropriateness, appropriate. That wasn't done appropriately. Everything is appropriate. Just goes on and on. And the women are just like staring at her like, what the fuck?
This is appropriate inanity.
Yeah, they're like, well, we just like her. We think she's fun. That's all. We're not going to judge. So they were kind of like, ew, Leanne. Yeah. They were kind of grossed out by her. But then Leanne just kept getting more and more because these ladies were not just saying, yes, ma'am. You know, they were being like, bad Elises.
They're like, we don't care about what they think about us. And that's got Leanne so mad. And eventually, that's when she eventually just goes, bow at me, because I'll bow right back at ya.
You're a little bitch. I'll sharpen my bow. See how that goes for you. I don't give a fuck. I'm like, wow, you're so classy. You're in public yelling, I don't give a fuck, and threatening to kill people. Right.
I know. Well, there's an old lady right behind you. Meanwhile, I like Carrie, who I think it was in the interview, was just like, whatever, she's a corny kid. Which is what will always happen to Leanne. No matter what Leanne does, how high she rises, people will just be like, well, she was a corny kid.
And then she's one of those people. Everyone always holds it against me that I'm a carny kid. Did I tell you about that time of the carny? Okay, thank you for coming to the AIDS charity. Let me talk about my time at the carny.
I also really liked, I think it was Stephanie who said, if she wants to wear a hat with hidden poop in it, then that's her thing. I was like, you know what? This show is hilarious. The fact that that sentence could ever happen means that there's a subtle brilliance to Real Housewives of Dallas.
And Carrie's argument. Now, if she wore a dildo, that would be inappropriate.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, we forgot to mention that Leanne did bring the poop. Which meant that she actually kept the poop all that time.
Yes, and she pointed it like a weapon. She's like, look at this. Look at this poop. Do you think this is appropriate? She's like, you're holding that right in the middle of a dinner table in public. So, I'm holding it to show you.
If you don't see shit, then you must acquit.
I'm going to write that down. That's real good. She comes up with everything.
You can tell Rich. So, the best part was that, you know, then Leanne's going on about, like, how you get into society. That's not what society does. And Carrie's like, hello, you have to be born into society. You have to have billions of dollars. You can't get into society. You have to be born into it. And Leanne's like, no, no, you get into it. You can get into it. You can get into it.
She's like, well, I don't want to fight with you, Leanne. Oh, this is not fighting. If you think this is a fight, then you don't know me, bitch. This was 411. It's going to be a 911. Yeah. Oh, my God.
This is just a good mimic of a fight. That's all. It's just a good mimic because that's my art. It's my comedy. God bless it.
How are people not in love with this shit?
But by the way, this was a significant moment because it's the first time on any of these shows that a woman has acknowledged that she is not in high society, that she is, you know, second tier or nouveau riche. Because all these women on all the Real Housewives or on all these things are always acting as if they're at the height of society. When you know that real high society just totally looks down on them and thinks that they're all, you know, shameful human beings.
She's proud of it. She's like, these people think that they're in charities because they're rich. I'm in charities because I work hard. Actually, charities are for rich people. Like, literally, charities are for rich people, for poor people.
Yeah, I mean, has she ever seen Downton Abbey? She needs to understand these things.
I'm not saying don't have pride in your work, Mrs. Whatever.
Daisy! Mrs.
I'm
Patmore.
Just saying, get downstairs.
Yeah, yeah. So that was Dallas for this week. Always hilarious. Just every single thing about it is hilarious. So.
Yeah, I'm loving me some Dallas.
Yeah. Yeah, people watch it. Watch it, everyone, because I don't think it's doing well in the ratings. And, you know, when we love a show, it usually doesn't come back. So please, people, watch it.
Do it. Worth it. Poop hat.
Poop hat. So speaking of poop hats, let's go to Shaw's Sunset.
This episode is called Poop Hat.
Poop Hat. It's brought to you by Poop Hat. PoopHat.com/crappins. Get $10 off your next order at PoopHat.com.
Yeah, let's move from the Poop Hat show to some chick in straw hair jerking off with desserts to get her husband sperming in a cup.
Yeah, that's MJ. So we'll just go through the characters. So for MJ this episode, her big thing is that she's thinking about having a baby with Tommy. And so, but they want to make sure Tommy's sperm is up to snuff. So since he's gonna have
you eating yogurt, because you know we gotta test my sperm.
Like, what does her eating yogurt and granola have to do with your sperm?
Hey, this granola's sort of soggy. Have you noticed how soggy this granola is? It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, it's wet. Yeah, eating that mushy granola. I like it. It's mushy, like you. I'm gonna
stick
between you and shove it in and out, eh? Neatlets.
You know what I like also? Cream of wheat, but I like to call it cream of Tommy, if you know what I'm saying.
I got a jerk off in a cup. I've been there, done that. I got the jerking off part down pat, baby.
I've been practicing my whole life for this moment.
So she decides every season has to have a plot about MJ trying to convince somebody that she's sexy with these fucking printed canvases.
Yeah. Yeah, so she decides to do some boudoir photos, so that way Tommy can jerk off to them when he's doing
his
sperm
sample. Dessert stuff and Reza's.
Well, the
charge.
Problem is that Reza was directing the photo shoot, so he basically has her slather honey on her face and stick a banana in her mouth. So she just looks ridiculous. It's not. It's as far from sexy as could be. It's like some weird John Waters crazy shit from the 70s.
We have to keep putting the banana back in her mouth because she keeps biting it off. That's so Persian.
That's
like
so
an
Persian.
American, like, can pose with the banana. Like, the Persians keep eating it.
That's so Persian. Homegirl just keeps eating the banana. Like who does that? That's, like, a crazy thing. Like, don't do that. Here, put some honey on your face. Like, if Vito were here, she'd be, like, straight up, like, homegirl, what? No.
It's basically like porn. Like Americans, they would just like finger their vagina or whatever, it would be porn. But like Persians, like we just eat. Like it's just crazy and reckless because there's no paper towels around. So Persian.
Like if this camera had more memory, like I would have MJ totally put crusty rice on her face because that is like so Persian. That is so hot.
Like I can't believe she even ate granola. That's so like homegirl. That's so like white girl. Like whatever. We're Persian.
So it's like a terrible, terrible photo shoot, and like she's putting whipped cream on her boobs, sort of, but just looks like a weird whipped cream bikini. It looks awful.
Like the Jell-O tray at Luby's. It's just like wobbles with a bunch of like weird whipped cream peaks with cherries on top. No,
yeah. So that was not great, but I guess it got the job done because Tommy jerked off happily. But,
he's like, whoa. Yeah, oh,
got it
whipped
done.
Whipped cream, yeah.
Yeah, he's like, I like the whipped cream, but I wish she put granola on herself. So the other thing with MJ, she was involved in two additional things. The first thing is Gigi. She gets into a weird fight with Gigi because you know how this show works is every other season, MJ and Gigi have to hate each other. So we're in one of those seasons. And so
basically everybody hates MJ.
Or
but she's really fun to get wasted with, and Reza will always be her friend, even though he betrayed her for a year.
Yeah, well, I mean,
I don't think anyone likes her.
It's just a rotating door between who's on the outs with the group. It's Mike, it's Gigi, or it's MJ. It's always those three, and Reza decides basically who's going to be the outcast. So right now it's Gigi because she's got rheumatoid arthritis and is in pain and is drinking to deal with the pain, and also because she's crazy. In fact, in the beginning of the episode, she and Shervin go to get the stitches out from her latest surgery, and she's like, she's getting them pulled out and she's being overly dramatic. And my favorite part was as the doctor is pulling out the stitches, she's like, it feels like my vagina is being pulled through my mouth, and the doctor's like, totally different area, I'm taking stitches out of your finger.
Fucking A, like my vagina's sweating and my like pussy, like everything is sweating. He's like, oh, well, yeah, it's just your hand. My vagina's sweating, my butthole's sweating. Both of them are sweating on each other. Like, what the fuck, man?
Yeah.
I love when she gets all chola.
I know. She's ridiculous. So
for her hand stitches.
Yeah. So then Gigi and MJ go to dinner at Barry's on, is it Beverly or Third? I forget. But, they don't serve booze there, so Gigi's already mad, and they're talking, and at one point...
As she should, because MJ did it on purpose.
Yeah.
She's like, I looked on Yelp to find a place that didn't serve alcohol.
Yeah. So MJ's talking about Tommy, and Gigi is, you know, she basically is like, how do you know that he's not going to cheat on you the way the last guy did? But she says it in a way... the way she says it is, and it's more of in a snotty way. She's kind of like, so if we tell you that he's sleeping around with someone, are you going to believe us this time? And so MJ's like, no. And then they get into a fight because MJ's like, that was a really foul thing for you to say. Why would you say that about Tommy? He's the love of my life, blah, 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 blah. And they start bickering. And Gigi's like, I was just trying to make conversation. At which case MJ's like, no, you're lying. I can see it all over. It's in your DNA. So then Gigi says, oh, it's in my DNA. You know where I get DNA from? It's my parents. You want to insult my parents now? You're insulting my parents? This is the most
ridiculous. She does have a point, though, because MJ just... She's like, how are you? She's like, oh, good. You know, running a household, taking care of my boyfriend, juggling family, household, and a boyfriend. Gigi's like, uh-huh. So are you not seeing me because you're afraid... Basically, Gigi told her that the last guy was fucking around. So
yeah.
MJ, even though the guy was fucking around, now MJ is mad at Gigi because Gigi's the one who told her.
Yeah.
Which is not fair. But also, yeah. Gigi, you know, did it and had a lot of fun. It was probably at like a barbecue. She's like, you want a hot dog? Oh, yeah, your boyfriend is putting his hot dog in other people. That's right, I said it, bitch.
Yeah, that's exactly probably how it went down.
So they're all terrible. As usual on the Shaws, you can't even really stick up for anybody because they're all terrible.
They're all like, God, exactly. Because Gigi's sort of in the right, and yet she's awful at the same time. And the fact that she does this whole thing like, oh, you're going to insult my parents now? You're going to insult my parents? Well, you know where DNA comes from? It's from their parents, too. So you're basically insulting everyone from the past 400 years. So thanks a lot. you're gonna insult Watson and Crick now because they found DNA? Is that what you're gonna do? You're gonna insult Jurassic Park because they made dinosaurs out of DNA? Is that what you're gonna do now? Calling dinosaurs liars? Is that what you're gonna do?
Got a problem with DNA. You're insulting DNA? Oh yeah, you want a piece? Like, you know it's not gonna end well when the scene begins with her holding a knife to her teeth. Like, she's checking her teeth, but she's also just burying that knife. Nothing ever ends well when that is the opening.
So meanwhile, the other we're having some issues with Reza and Adam, Tame Gay, because Reza's like, hey, honey, I want to show you the sort of house that I'd like to move into. And it's this butt-ugly concrete cube of modernism.
Well, what are we going to move in? Like, if I want to move into a house, too, we will. Oh, you're going to show me a house? I'll let you show me a house if... like, I let you. Ugh. Yeah. Because MJ called him a pussy, so now he's trying to fight about nothing.
Exactly. But the funny thing is that Adam's like, you know what I want in a house? I want an aviary. I want an aviary in a rooftop garden. An aviary? I don't think that's a feature that comes with a lot of houses.
Well, that guy does love just cleaning up shit.
Yeah. Well, but to be fair, I mean... it was a butt-ugly house that Reza showed him. I mean, of course Adam's going to be like, I don't want this. It's
disgusting.
I want
a house without wood. This house, like, there's no wood. Like, what's so American?
He's like, what about the gravel? Don't you like the gravel? That's so Persian to like little stones.
No. Adam, he goes, don't you like it? And Adam goes, I like the gravel.
So, yeah, then they get into it. And the funny thing is Reza's like, he's not liking anything I like for some reason. I'm like, that's because you have really terrible taste. Have you seen the shorts you've been wearing lately?
You also just drove him up to a cement box with little holes in it. There's not even any windows. There's like little holes. It's a concrete box. Poor thing. Poor Adam.
He's like, I want to live on a street like this. They call it Skid Row. Why don't you like it? That's so Persian.
Oh, really? Maybe because it's a row and it's like, whatever, skid? Like, whatever you say, I guess so. I guess that is what they call it then. Adam fighting with every stupid little thing.
I know. But the thing is that Adam, I get the sense that Adam has been sort of cranky ever since the wedding was called off. And rightfully so. I would be cranky too. I would have trust issues. And so when he had the conversation with MJ last week, where MJ was like, listen, you know, Rez is very dominant. Like, don't be afraid to speak up. I don't think that that was shady or manipulative, by the way. I think it was pretty sage advice. And so later on, when Adam and Reza are getting ready to go to Mike's Shabbat, because Mike is having Shabbat, he's bringing the whole gang back together because Mike has had a realization that he's been living his life by half-assing everything and relying on charm, quote-unquote charm. And so now...
I just realized it.
Yeah, he just realized that he's been loafing through life. And so Reza is like, that's all I wanted to hear. So now Mike and Reza are, quote unquote, resurrected. Get it? So so now to celebrate this, he's having Shabbat. So on the way to Shabbat dinner, Reza's getting ready. And Adam's like, you know what? Like, MJ was talking to me and being really shady. She was like telling me things about having to stand up for myself. And I'm like, that's not shady at all. She was giving you good advice, and now you're making her sound like she was being a shady bitch. That's not right.
Yeah, he immediately turns. Like, why is she trying to cause problems? She can't stand to see somebody else happy? Like, is that what she's doing? Poor Reza. It's like, Jesus Christ. He knows that he can't get Reza to fight with him, so I guess he's going to make MJ do it. Adam, Jesus Christ, get a job already.
I know, Adam. Seriously, this woman actually had your back in a good way, and she was not... she wasn't undermining you.
I don't know about that. Like, I'm with you for the most part. She didn't give him bad, terrible advice, but she's not friends with Adam.
That's true. You're right.
Like, she's doing it because Reza's sitting right out there, and she knows that Reza's about to have this secret wedding that she doesn't agree with, which I'm with her. I think
I'm with her 100%. 100%.
But she's, like, trying to go about it in this way where, you know what? I don't agree with it, but Adam is a pussy and he doesn't do shit. Adam doesn't do anything. So
except daydream about aviaries.
And he's allowed to not want to do anything and just be, you know, controlled by some man. Why can only women do it?
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. I think that's probably why he outed MJ, because, you know, at his heart, he's a team gay who wants to have a dominant daddy to you know, rule the roost. And it's almost like him speaking up is probably makes him feel weird. So he's going to blame it on MJ and then go back to normal. That's my pop psychology.
He's always going to choose his daddy. And guess what? So is MJ. She will always choose Reza's side over Adam's, too. Yeah. So they might as well not even waste each other's damn time.
Yeah. So now it's time for Shabbat dinner at Mike's place. So there's a nice spread up next to the chain link fence. And I will say, by the way, you know, as much as shit we talk about Jessica, she did put out it looked like a really excellent spread. So, you know, mazel tov, Jessica. You did a very nice job for Shabbat dinner. So
he was her training Persian. Yeah. She'll be able to get a Persian with a lot more money now. She knows how to make a whole spread and please all sides of the family. Good training, Mike.
Yeah, exactly. So everyone's there, including Bobby and Asifa. And you know what the worst part about this? I was taking my notes on my phone because I was watching on the laptop. My phone knows how to spell Asifa now. Like, Asifa is an autocorrect suggestion, and I'm so upset about that.
That sucks, because does your phone... Well, I guess phones do that, where you're trying to just have a nice time, and then it's like your phone's like, ding, 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 ring, ring. So this is like being obnoxious for no reason.
Listen, my phone doesn't know birthday. I write happy birthday. I write happy birth dat all the time. And my phone's like, did you mean tomato? But I tell you, I write like Asaqua. And they're like, don't you mean Asifa from Shaw's of Sunset?
Like yelling at you. Like Asifa. So they're trying to have a nice dinner. So how's everybody doing? She's like, Gigi is a mess. She physically violated me. Like, she put her hands on me, and then they cut to a picture or a video of her Asifa rubbing the cake on Gigi.
Yeah. And then when it comes back, Asifa's like, she did throw cake at me. She did. Like, oh, you're really holding on to this, aren't you?
I love that it was even a mystery in their world, because I thought that Gigi did, and you're like, no, it was some random person who threw the cake at her. It's like cake mystery.
One of our listeners said she went back and she said when she went back and looked at it, and it was Gigi. So, you know, there's a lot of controversy over this cake situation. So they're of course all talking about Gigi, which is this gang's favorite thing. This is like the best Shabbat they've ever had, because they can all talk about Gigi. As much as Mike said the last thing he wants to hear about is Gigi, he was so happy.
Yeah, I love when someone's not there, and they always love when someone's not there, because they always talk the worst shit about them.
And then Jessica does this whole thing like, I don't want to talk about the past. Like, if we're talking about the past, like, get the fuck out of my house. Like, let's just talk about the future. It's like, shut up, Jessica. Just relax.
Jessica, once she yelled, now she's always yelling at everybody, always. Like, you guys want this negativity? Like, fuck you. I don't want this in my life.
Like, could you pass the wine, please? If you want the wine so badly, why don't you stand up and get it for yourself? What do I have to be doing everything for you? Fine, here's the wine.
Then this is when they all started leaving the table to talk shit about each other. And this whole thing.
This is great.
Who was first? So was it Reza and MJ? They're having a good time, and Reza's like, what are you doing? Like, is he starting stuff with me and Adam? Like, what are you doing? She's like, I'm going to walk away.
Yeah, he comes for her, and she's like, I wasn't starting anything with you and Adam. I wasn't starting anything. So in which case, she's like, okay, fine. You're going to come at me. This is what I'm going to do. So she goes and tells, like, Mike and Shervin and whoever else, like, okay, everyone, just so you know, Reza's planned to have a surprise wedding for Adam. So be understated when you find out, because you're not supposed to know yet. So the first thing that happens is that Shervin sits down at a table once Adam's not there. And he's like, hey, so I hear you're having a wedding, a surprise wedding. And Rez is like, what? No, I don't know where you heard that. That's like crazy. That's like so Persian to, you know, say you're going to have a regular wedding. Like, I don't know. It's like. No.
Why would I, like, do that? It's like a dinner party, and, like, then you're going to, like, get married? What? That's crazy.
And meanwhile, like, when Reza was talking to MJ originally, Adam saw that. Adam's like, oh, look, they're talking about me. Because I talked about MJ, so now he's talking about me. And then Adam comes back. I'm sorry, Reza comes back. And I was like, what were you talking about? And Reza's like, oh, I was just talking about how MJ, like, what was this thing? He basically throws MJ under the bus, right?
He's like, it went so crazy because they went from person to person, but it ended up that Adam came back, and then they were talking about this secret, and then he was like, oh, so MJ was talking about me, and but they weren't. They were talking about the wedding, and Reza let him be upset with MJ. He's like, yeah. Well, he'll find out that it wasn't true, but he'll still be mad at MJ, but she, like, still deserved it. It was just about something different.
Yeah, it was so fucked up. He was like, oh, yeah, MJ, I was telling MJ about how we're going to build a dream house, and she was like, you shouldn't do that. And he's like, I can't believe MJ doesn't want us to have a dream house. Like, what a bitch. He's like, yeah, I know. I'm like, you are so shady. Like, you just threw your friend under the bus. That's so ridiculous. And then Reza goes up to MJ and is like, just so you know, I told Adam that you don't want us to build a dream house. That way he thinks that that's what we're talking about. And then Adam's like, look at him debriefing MJ about what we just said. I was like, it's all fucked up.
Yeah. And then you've got Asa basically the whole episode just going, babe, you know, like, what I say is like the energy of forgiveness. You know what I mean? Asa, shut up. And then Asafa's still at the table. Like, she's a drunk. She hurt me. She these people. It's like episode 3. Ready to kill. But hilarious.
And then Mike is like making these proclamations about all his self-growth. He's like, you know, I think I'm really at the place now where, like, I'm really ready to have people over, have dinner now. Like, I'm not interested in going to the club. I just want to, I feel like a grown man now. I feel like I'm a grown man and I'm having people over for dinner now. And I feel like this is a new chapter for me. I'm like taking life on. I'm being an adult. It's like, cut to next week. Different. By the way, I cheated, you know?
Yeah. Yep. That's when they always start staying at home because they can't be going out and getting recognized everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
Mike.
Mm-hmm. So.
I learned to cook for you.
Yeah. She converted to Judaism for him. That's a lot. And she's learning Persian. That's a lot to take on.
Well, Adam said he liked gravel. That's all that matters. That makes this whole thing worth it. He's like, I like the gravel. At least one relationship can make it, guys.
I like the gravel. Well, yeah, that's pretty exciting for him. I mean, gravel and freeballing, that's all he needs.
Gravel is so unrestricted. I love that those stones aren't covered.
So anyway, I think that's it. We did it. We got the end of this bonkers episode. We'll be back later this week with talk of the Beverly Hills reunion and Southern Charm and the Flamingo Party. And also we're going to, in New York City, but we also are going to be talking with Heather McDonald, our favorite. She's so funny.
All our little ballers.
All right. Thanks everyone for listening. And
bye, guys.
And yeah, talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.